On Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara had an Ibaya regarding Marish al Maisa Sheni of Yerushalayim. Since it's only the Rabbanon, so do you have the problem of Ein Anecha B'chama Shabbos Anan? So someone pointed out this morning very well that according to the Ravid and the Balamor learned Pechabrutza. So each one wrote Hasogas on the other one's Sefer. So the Rabbi wrote a sefer, Bali HaNefesh, about the laws of Taras HaMishpoch and Mikvos, and you have Hasogas of the Balamor. Then the Balamor wrote the sefer Hamor on the Rif. So you have the Hasogas of the Ravid on the sefer Hamor. So they have, we don't have all of it. We're missing a lot of the manuscript, but we have quoted from that Ravid. They call the sefer Kosov Sham, because every paragraph begins Kosov Sham, that the Balamor wrote in his Sefer, and the Ravid either says he stole it from me, it was Mashtigal Torah, or he says it's wrong. Either it's very good and it's his, or it's no good, because his Chavrusa said it. Interesting style of writing. So we have, there's a Sefer Kafta Leferach, that was written by one of the Rishonim who moved Eretz Yisrael. There was a whole group who moved Eretz Yisrael. So he quotes there in, from the Ravid in the Kosov Sham, the Ad of Chulin. I don't think we have that printed yet. But he quotes, the Ravid had a Chiddush that even though the obligation to be Mafish Shumas HaMaisas Torah is only on Dog and Tirish V'Yitzar, but if you are Mafish, then it's Chalman HaTorah. So here, Rashi has two Pshatim on Lama Tesam Beis. What's Midr Rabbanan? Since Morish al Mashasheni is only Midirabbanon, so maybe you don't have to be some Midag. What's Midirabbanon? So Rashi has two pshatim. Either Morib is Manazezdirabbanon, or Mashasheni on Yerek. Mashasheni Yerek is only Midirabbanon. So Mashasheni Yerek is only Midirabbanon means, according to the Rabbi, it means that the Chiyab is only Midirabbanon. But if you mafresh it, the Rabbi has a Chiddush that it's Chalmen Ator. It's Chalmen Ator, then it's going to be in an Echo B'chomo Shavas, a Din Daraisa. So it wouldn't fit in. If you all like the Ravid, you have to learn the other pshat, that what's the Rabbanon is not the Maisa Shedi and not the Maisa Yerik is the Rabbanon, it's Chalmen HaTorah. It means that the Maisa, means that the Marib is Manazeh is only with the Rabbanon. So that was the shot. Is it only Zechel HaMikdash? It doesn't bother me if it's not Nechel B'chom HaShavas. Or do you say, no, because of the consideration of Zechel HaMikdash, the Chachamim made a takana that you need Marib is Manazeh. The Mar has to be Necha B'chol Mashavas. That's what the Rabbi will have to learn. But Rashi has the both Pshatim. Yesterday we left off in the middle of a Tosfos on Mem on the day. So Ilfus V'Hakdera. So the Tosfos here quotes it the Kitzur. Tosfos in Shabbos quotes it more by Richas that this was a machlokes between the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam. Rashbam is the older brother. Rabbein Tam was the younger brother. There was a third brother who was named after Rashi. He was born after Rashi passed away. Rabbein Shloima. In Chulin, there's a very long Rashi at the end of Perek HaLabosa, and it says at the end a very long Arichas, like a Tshuva HaLochamasa. It says at the end that this was written by Rashi's grandson, Rabbein Shloima, Reb Meir, who was named after Rashi. He was the youngest of the three brothers. So the Rashbam and the Rabbein Tam often had arguments. So there are two diukim in the Mishnah that contradict each other. Whether iri from the kli rishon onto food, onto raw food, is iri ki kli rishon, or iri is ki kli sheni. So there's a stira. So that was a machlekes, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam. And the Rabbeinu Baruch made the compromise that Tosis quotes over here. Nirida filu shmuel, kedei klipo, that's the compromise of the Sefer Abtruma. He was a Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam. What's an afkemina halacha lemaisa where the ira is mevashal not mevashal? So one afkemina is vilcha Shabbos. There's a malacha mevashal. So the Mishnah says that there's only bishul bikli rishon. Bishul the klisheni is ena mevashal. What does that mean? Klisheni is ena mevashal. If I put a raw egg into a, I have let's say water in a kettle, then I pour the water from the kettle into a container, and then I put in a raw egg. So if it doesn't get cooked, it doesn't get cooked. So what's the discussion whether there is or there is not bishul in a klisheni? Take a look to see whether the egg is still raw or not. So Tais says, no, we're talking that it did become a bushel. The egg became soft-boiled, whatever, it got cooked. And despite the fact that it did get cooked, or let's say you had vegetables that were not edible in a raw state, and you put the vegetables into the klisheni, and now they are edible. It did make it soft. And nonetheless, the Gemara says that klisheni is not mevashel. Why not? So Tosis raises the question in Masechah Shabbos. So there's a little Tosis in Perikira in the third parak. So Tosis says, since it's ain't darka bekach, since by klisheni the tvanas amekar arose, and the water is oimed lehiskarer, and there's a good possibility that by putting in a raw egg, it'll not get cooked. So even if it did get cooked, that's ain't darka yishu bekach. But it's not just the din in Hilchos Shabbos Bekalach Hayad, it's only the Rabbanan. Let's say a person is a writer, he writes with the left hand, so it's Kalach Hayad. A person, let's say, instead of turning on the lights, by putting his finger on the switch, he moves his elbow. The result is exactly the same. If I'm a writer, I write with the left hand, it's going to be very sloppy. So at least the result is different. But let's say if I turn on the light, whether I turn on the light with my finger or turn on the light with my elbow, is going to be the exact same result. And nonetheless, we usually assume that by Hilchos Shabbos, he's still not chai. He's still only going to be the Rabban. Because the Pasuk says, Malachas Machshavos has to be, you learn out a lot of dinim from Malachas Machshavos. Malachas Machshavos never says by Shabbos. It says by Malachas HaMishkan had to be Malachas Machshavos. But because all the laws of the Malachas are derived from the Mishkan, that's the Gemara, the first daf in Baba Kama. Hach to have a Mishkan Chashiva Korli Av. Hach to lo have a Mishkan Chashiva Korli Tolda. Whatever important activity was involved in Asiyas HaMishkan is labeled as an Av Malachan. And if it wasn't in the Mishkan, it's not going to be an Av Malachan. So since all the dinim of the Malachas are derived from the Mishkan, one Tana effect establishes that there are 39 Ovis Malachas, because in the Mishkan there were 39 activities. That's how you got to the number 39. Another Tana says, no, that you learn it out from the fact you look at the Chumash from the beginning of Bereshit till the end of Azayis HaBracha. The word Malacha, Malachta, Malachas appears 39 times. And that's from the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Behem. That's how you establish that there are 39 Malachas. Truth of the matter is there are more than 39 times. The Rishonim already point out, it has the word Malacha, Malachta, Malachas appears more than 39 times. There are different opinions which of the 39 you do count and which you don't count. So again, so there's a din in Hilchos Shabbos that if you do a malacha kalach hayad, the pashta says even if the result comes out exactly the same, the light goes on Shabbos, whether you turn the switch with your finger, you turn the switch with the elbow. It's exactly, the result is exactly the same. But since you did it in an abnormal fashion, so we usually assume that that's also only the Rabbanim. Yeah, so... What is bishul in a klisheni is not normal because people know in advance that since when you pour the water from the kettle into the klisheni, so the tvanas are going to be makaros. So the water was cooked in the kettle, so the walls of the kettle are burning hot. So it's going to retain the heat. But if the walls of the klisheni are not hot, when you pour the water into the klisheni, the tvanas will cause the water to be makaros. See, even if it turns out that by putting some vegetables or by putting something into the klisheni, it gets burning hot, but because there was a good chance that it's not gonna come out like that, so that's called Dein Derech Bishul B'Kach. So is that only a din in Hilchos Shabbos that bishul b'klisheni doesn't count? No, the Gemara said the first daf in Perek Kol HaBasar that bishul b'klisheni is for basar b'chol purposes is only the Rabbanan. Boshem Levushal Bamayin, there's a separate law by Korban Pesach. If you eat the Korban Pesach, Boshem Levushal Bamayin. So the Gemara says, if you do Bishul, Gemara says there on Chumah, if you do Bishul the Klisheni, so you're not like it on Boshem Levushal Bamayin, because ain't Bishul the Klisheni. So that's a din in Kol HaTorah Kulo. If you do the Bishul in an abnormal fashion, do the Bishul in an abnormal fashion, it's a din in Kol HaTorah Kulo. And maybe then in Hilchos Shabbos, it's an added din. That could be. So again, so what is the relevance? We have a machlokes, the Rashbam, the Rabbi Natan, where the iri from the klivishon onto the food is a dinikir klivishon, it is mavashel, or is a dinikir klishen, it's not mavashel. What's a nafkamina? So one nafkamina is Hilchos Shabbos. There's a malacha bishul, so whether one is a violation of bishul. If you're going to pour burning hot water from a kettle on a raw piece of meat, you can pour from today till next year. The meat is not going to get cooked. So that's not the malacha. You have to have, it should be kederach bishul, and it has to accomplish that. It should become a wushel. The Gemara says, flesh, to become a wushel, you got to have, for sure, iru is not mavashel. Even if you put it in a klevishon, let's say I have a pot of burning hot soup, and I take it off of the fire, it's still a klevishon, even if it's not agabahesh, then I take a piece of raw meat and I put it in. You can leave it in there for an hour. It's not going to get cooked. You have to have a fire on the bottom. There's something that's just not going to cook. So again, so one, the major nafkamina is on Shabbos, is there an isa, is the malocha bishol, if you do bishol the iri. Yeah, what's another nafkamina? So Tosis assumes a l'chapa nafkamina for meligas tarnegoilas. What does meliga mean? What is nichsim malug? Nichsim malug has to do with meligas tarnegoilas. Meligas tarnegoilas means you flick off the feathers, when you rip off the feathers. When your mother cooks chicken for Shabbos, so she doesn't cook with the feathers. In the plant, in the slaughterhouse, where they shecht the chickens, so they remove all of the feathers. And then after they remove all the feathers, then they have to salt it to remove all of the dam. When I was growing up, my mother had to salt her own meat. And then over the course of years, the butchers take care of it. Or now the butchers don't take care of it. Now the slaughterhouse. In the slaughterhouse, they take care of it. So it's not so easy to scrape off. Why, when a woman gets married, let's say a girl gets married, and when she was single, she bought the real estate, and she collects the rent every month. And when she gets married, the din is that the husband is entitled to the peres nichsim malug, so all the money that she gets from her real estate goes to the husband. That's called peres nichsim malug. Why does it use the same word as maliga, like maligas tanegoilas? Just like there, you flick off the feathers, you're ripping off the feathers from the chickens. Here, he's ripping off the peres from his wife's tree, or she owns the apartment houses, and he's collecting all of the rent from the apartment houses. So that's like maliga. So the maligas tanigoles is so that later on, when you cook it, it's not going to have the feathers on it, and when you salt it, you don't want to have the feathers on it either. But it's very hard to scrape off the feathers. So a lot of the what they do is that they dip. This is kedeged adin. They dip the raw chickens into burning hot meat, into burning hot water. They dip the raw chickens into pots of burning hot water and makes everything very soft. When it's very soft, then it's much easier to scrape off the feathers. So why is this keneged hadin? Because the chicken has a lot of dam. And the din is that when you salt the meat, all of the dam will come out. You can't really assume all the dam is going to come out. It's not true. A lot of dam is going to remain. But that's the halacha. Once you salted the meat for the correct amount of time, and then you rinsed it off after you finish salting it, so all of the blood that remains, we declare as mohel habasa. That's the juice of the meat. That's not considered dam. It happens that even if you, let's say, how long do you have to salt the meat? So the Tosis quotes from the Seif, Halachas Gedolos, you have to salt it kishir mil. How long is a shir mil? So the Mishnah Berurah says 18 minutes, and others say 22 and a half minutes. Okay, so we usually machmer an hour. So you first wash off the chicken. If there's dam on the surface of the chicken, then it's not going to help. Let's say when the shechet shechs the chicken, so the blood is going to splash all over the place. So if you're going to salt the chicken with the blood on the outside, the salting is going to be mavliya the dam into the chicken, so it'll make a treif. So you have to first rinse off the, or let's say you have a big animal, you shechted a big animal, and then you're going to cut it up in little pieces, and then you're going to salt each piece separately. So when you have a knife, and you cut a big animal in pieces, so the pressure of the knife is going to cause a lot of dam to come to the surface. So the piece of meat that you want to salt is going to be full of dam on all the six sides, top and the bottom, and the four sides around. So you have to, whenever you have a piece of meat that you want to salt, so you first have to wash it off with water in advance. We usually soak it for an hour. You soak it for an hour, so it makes it softer. So if the meat is softer, then there's a better chance that the salt will remove more blood. And then the minig is that you leave it sitting in the salt for an hour. Strictly speaking, you don't need a whole hour. All you need is a shear milk. Shear milk, the biggest shear is 26 minutes, I'm correct. Only 6 minutes shear milk. Pashta says that it's only 22 and a half minutes is a shear milk. So we assume in the Shulchan Aruch, we assume that if you took a piece of raw meat and you put it into burning hot water and you cook the dam in the meat, so that dam, the dam is bashal b'basar, is not yotzei al yedei malicha. If you eat the meat later on, you won't be in violation of dam anisa deraisa, because we pass kandam shabishloi ain't over all of. Because when you zorek the dam on the zbeach, if you bring a korban, the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat dam. We're not allowed to eat chel, we're not allowed to eat dam, because this is chel kashal gavoy. You're supposed to bring the chel and the dam as korbanos. So the Gemara says, dam shebishloi, if you cook the dam, and then you want to be zork the dam of the korban, so you're not yotze. So because dam shebishloi, and overall, because dam shebishloi is not roi fezrika, ala mezbeach, so the Gemara comes to the conclusion that dam shebishloi ain't overall. If you eat dam mevushal, it's only an Issa derabbanan, and it's not an Issa deraisa. Even dam shemolcho, because maliach kiraseach. So let's say if I salted a piece of meat, and I didn't let it sit for 22 and a half minutes. You have to let it sit at least 22 and a half minutes. But in the beginning, some of the dam comes out. So that dam that comes out because of the malicha, if someone will eat that dam, that won't be an Issa deraisa. That's dam shemolcho. Dam shemolcho is the same as dam shebishla, because maliach is kiraseach. So that's a second nafkamina. Tosis has four nafkaminas here. The Ramascha Hoilfus, the four nafkaminas in this machlokes between the Rashbam and the Rabbein Tam, whether Irui from a Kli Rishon onto the raw food is Mevashal or not. First nafkamina, Hilchas Shabbos, is are you in violation of Bishul? Second nafkamina is if you do Meligas Tarnagailas, if you want to rip off all of the feathers, so you want to put. It would be beneficial if you would put the piece of chicken in a pot of burning hot water to soften everything, so it would be easier to rip off the feathers. But if you put it in a pot of burning hot water, then you're being levashal, the dam, in the basar, and shuvi ene yotza yidei malichim. So what if you do irui? So in a lot of the slaughterhouses, the day the mashgiach is coming, they're careful not to have any burning hot water there. The minute the mashgiach leaves, and then they have the hot water, and they fool the mashgiach. Yeah, I remember there was a time the yeshiva cafeteria wanted to buy from Manor Poultry. There was a slaughterhouse for turkeys, I think, chickens and turkeys in Livingston Manor, in upstate New York. And my father used to be in charge of the hashgacha in the three cafeterias in Einstein and Stern College and the yeshiva. So my father had to go. The one in charge of the cafeteria, the balabas in charge, wanted to buy from Livingston Manor. So my father went there. I went with him. And we went with a prominent rabbi, a European Talmud Chacham. He learned the Rav Chaim Moses Kollel, and he gave the hashgacha and manna poultry. So when we were there, the water that they were sprinkling on the chickens and on the turkeys was not hot. And the minute we left, then they had the hot water. So the government closed it down because it was false advertising. There's a separation of church and state. So after many years, the government in New York State did away with the Kashrus Commission, because the government is not supposed to be policing the Jewish religion. But at that time, they had a Kashrus Commission to make sure that they don't advertise falsely. They're claiming that this is kosher, and it's not kosher. It's not kosher according to the Orthodox practice, according to Shulchan Aruch. Others hold that it is kosher. The reformer, the conservative, whoever doesn't hold from the Shulchan Aruch. So that's why the government finally closed down the state kashrus commission. Not all the states are the same. Not all the states have the same. Some states still do have a kashrus commission. Others don't. Others hold that it's a violation of church and state. So that's the second nafkamina. But Iri is only mevashal kadei klipa. So if you poured Iri from the Kli Rishon on top of the Ruah chicken, so we're afraid that maybe only the first Kedei Klipa of the chicken has a Bli of the Dam. the dam is nivla ayidei ira is mevashal kadei klipa, and then shuveni yotza ayidei malicha. So malicha is not going to help. So you have to cut off the first kadei klipa and throw it out. It's drape, and then the rest of it will be kosher. Yeah. What's the third nafkamina? This has a third nafkamina. Mukhodish dika nafkamina. Is there a bliya or not? Let's say I'm pouring burning hot milk on meat. I have milk that I cooked in a pot, al ha'ish, so the milk is an eklivishon. Then I pour it, iri from eklivishon, I pour it on a piece of meat. A piece of meat is cooked already. So if iri is mevashel, then it's basa b'chol of deraisa. And if it's basa b'chol of deraisa, then it's also b'chila. Oh, but let's say if it's chicken, it'll only be basa b'chol of derabanan. That's a machlokes satanan, where the chicken and milk is basa b'chol of deraisa, derabanan. Most of the poskim hold, that's how we pass on the halacha, that chicken and milk is only with the rabbanim. The Shach quotes those who claim that Tosus understood that it's their isa. It's machlekes hatanaim, and it's a question in achrayim how we pass on. But bottom line, we pass on that chicken and milk is only the rabbanim. Yeah. So even if you have, let's say, meat and milk is their isa, but it's only their isa with derech bishul. If you have a meat and milk are kavush kemevushal and maliach kiraseach, then it'll only be basa b'chol of their abana. It's only basa b'chol of their rice if it's their abishal. So that's the shaila where the iru is mevashal. If the iru is mevashal, then it'll be basa b'chol of their rice. Yeah. So Tosis has a chiddush. Tosis assumes that if iru is not mevashal, not only is it not basa b'chol of deraisa, if you're pouring a trefa liquid on top of kosher food, there won't be a bliya. There won't be a bliya. So the Ramban disagrees with Tosafot. How can that be? The din is that the kovish kamavushal maliach kiraseach. You see that bliyas don't depend on bishul. Maliach kiraseach and kovish kamavushal is only basa b'chol of derabanan. It's not basa b'chol of deraisa because it's not derech bishul. And nonetheless, there is a bliyas. How can Tosafot say that? If Iru is not mevashal, it's only mevashal kadei klipa, so it only makes treif kadei klipa. I'm pouring a treif of liquid on top of a kosher food. How can you say like that? You can have bliyas even if it's not derech bishul. V'harai from kovish kemevushal maleich kiraseach, that's the Ramban's taina. So he disagrees with this. He says even a klisheni where there's no bishul at all, but if it's burning hot, if it's yatzaledes, but then there's going to be bliya. If it's less than yatzaledes, then we call it tzainen. We assume there's no bliya. That's a question. How much is yatzaledes? There are different opinions. So in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosa, he quotes a whole fancy explanation why it's 100. I think he writes 114 degrees Fahrenheit. Where did he get a gematria 114 degrees Fahrenheit? So he says that the Gemara in the first Perek in Chulin has a machlokes whether the neck of an animal when you shecht it is the Beis HaShechita. We call the neck is called the Beis HaShechita. That part of the animal that you're shechting is the Beis HaShechita Tzainen or is the Beis HaShechita Reseach. Let's say I shecht an animal and then it turns out the animal happens to be a trefa. So is the knife Balea from the trefas of the animal? Or let's say it's a milchik knife. By mistake, I'm using a milchik knife to shecht an animal. So if Beis HaShechita is Reseach, then the milchik knife is touching the neck, it'll make a treif. There'll be a milchik bli into the flesh of the animal, and it'll become a treif. So we paskan Beis HaShechita is tzainim. It's not hot enough to be considered Reseach. It's not yatzaledes. It's below yatzaledes. So what is the temperature? What is the degree of the temperature when you shecht an animal? So every animal is different. Every animal is different. But when you're shechting the animal, then it's hotter than it normally is because all of the blood gushes to the neck in order to shoot out. So the hottest, and the Gemara had a question whether the Beis HaShechita, whether the neck is Reseach Tzainin. So the Gemara came to the conclusion, sounds like all animals, the Beis HaShechita is Tzainin. None of the animals does it reach Reseach. So they made a study and it came out, I think, that ducks are the hottest. The chickens, ducks, turkeys, steer, bull, sheep, goats, all different animals. Turn out, I think that the ducks have the hottest neck. And the hottest the neck ever is something like 113 degrees Fahrenheit. So the Gemara was pilpiling with the Beis HaShechita Tzainan Veseach. So that's sort of borderline there, Mark, comes to the conclusion, Beis HaShechita is Tzainan. But if it's 114, then you don't. It's 1 degree higher. So Mashu. The difference between 113 and 114 is a little bit of a joke, a lot of a joke. So the Shmir Shabbos Kolchosa quotes those, and Eretz Yisrael came to the conclusion that 114 you have to be choshish, that maybe that's Yatzaledes. Maybe 114 is Yatzaledes. In America, I don't think any of the kashrus organizations are machmer for that. That 114 is Yatzaledes. I think the kashrus organization in America are machmer starting from 120, which is also a big chumrah. Strictly speaking, it's also not. 120 is also not the Yatzaledes. You put your hand in. You touch your hand. It's not Yatzaledes. Rav Soloveitchik used to say he thinks it's something between 140 and 160. is Yatzaledes. That's a shaila. How much is Yatzaledes l'chumra? So do you have to be machmer? So Shmir Shabbos Kolchosa thinks you have to be machmer 114. And the OU and the other kashrus organization, machmer for 120. In the other direction, how high do you have to be machmer to say that it's if it's a chumra the other way? Let's say if a nochri handles wine, a nochri sticks his hands in the wine, so he makes it stam yenam and it becomes osa midirabbanam. If a nachr is really menasach the wine for Avodah Zarah, then it's Yayin Esach, then it's also menat Torah. According to the Rambam, it's one of the 613 mitzvahs, not to drink Yayin Shenis Nasach Lefnei Avodah Zarah. But if the nachr handled the wine, that's Tam Yenam, it was Nageh B'Yayin, so then it's an Issa de Rabbanah, that's Tam Yenam. But the Gemara has a din, if it's a Yayin Mevushal, since Yayin Mevushal is posel anasach agabi hamizbeach, just like Dam Shebishloi is possible Lizrak Hagabi Hamizbeach. So Yayin Mevushal is possible Lenasel Hagabi Hamizbeach. Why? Because apparently it's considered not as elegant as when it's not Mevushal. So just like the Jews would never use Yayin Mevushal to be Menasach and the Beis Hamikdash on the Mizbeach, so the Nochrim would probably also not use Yayin Mevushal to be Menasach for Avodah Zarah. So when the Tanoim made the Gzeirah de Rabbanah, whenever they made the Gzeirah de Rabbanah, that's Tam Yenim is Osir, because of the Chashash, the real Chashash was because of Chasnus, that it may lead to intermarriage. But once they made that Gzeirah, so they threw in also Chashash of Maga HaAkum, that if the Nochri handles the wine, so we're concerned maybe he was Menasech et Favadu Zor. But if the Yayin is Yayin Mevushal, they're probably not going to be Menasech, because we wouldn't use that Yayin on Agabi HaMizbech, on the Beis HaMikdash. So they probably wouldn't use it for Avodah Zarah either. If you actually did use it for Avodah Zarah, then it will become Yayin Esach. But if we don't know one way or the other, we assume we probably did not use it for Avodah Zarah. So that din, that Yayin, that Yayin Mevushal, there's no prohibition of Maga Akum, how high do you have to cook it that it should be considered Yayin Mevushal? So the Ozer Ruah writes a Sofek, maybe Hefsheru Zehu Bishulam, maybe if it's lukewarm, if he heated it till it became lukewarm, maybe that's also called mevushal. And if the nochri handles the wine after you cook the wine till the point of poshrim, lukewarm, maybe that's maybe there's room to be made. So the Ozer Ruah is mistupik, and then at the end he says no, that hefsheru lo zehu bishula. You have to. It's only called the yayin mevushal if it was cooked to the point of yatzaledes. So what's the highest? You can't say yatzaledes 114. The Shmir Shabbos Kolchosa said 114 is l'chumra in that direction. But if you're not sure how much is Yatzaledes, that's a kulat to say 114. So how high does it have to be that you know for sure that it's called Yayin Mevushal? There's a certain point that it's not Yatzaledes, it's Yad Nichvus Bo. Yad Nichvus Bo means scolding. If you put your hand, the Chayodim has a difference. The Rambam has a Yerushalmi, that even though the Rambam has a Yerushalmi, that even though there's no Bishul B'Klisheni, but if the Klisheni is Yad Nichvus Bo, then there is Bishul B'Klisheni. The Rambam has it benegeh to Tevel. The din is not allowed to eat Tevel, but the Yisr Tevel Menatar only sets in if you had Miruach and Rias Pnei Abayis, if you had everything. If you only had Miruach, but you didn't have yet Rias Pnei Abayis, then the Yisr Tevel is only Midir Rabbanon. And since it's only with the Rabbanon, it's only also if you eat it achilos keva. eat achilas aroi, then it's mutter even midrabbanan. So, what's called achilas kepa? You eat a ton of it. And then there are certain times that I say, even if you eat a little bit, al pidin, we label that as achilas kepa. So there's one din Shabbos kavas. Whatever you eat on Shabbos, because the pasuk says in karasa, the Shabbos oneg, so Shabbos is kavas. Whatever you nibble on Shabbos, called achilas kepa. Then there's another din, mekach is kaveh. If you bought it from someone else, that's also called achilas kepa. If you did bishul is kaveh. Melech is kaveh. If you salted it, also called kaveh. Okay, different things are kaveh. So in that din, that bishul is kaveh. If you cooked, if I have tevel, and it didn't have rias ben abayis, but I cooked it before I ate it. I just ate a little bit. I didn't eat so much. So bishul is kaveh. So the Rambam quotes a Yerushalmi, bishul is only bikli bishul, klisheni ainim avashul, unless it's yad nichlis bo, then klisheni is mavashul. So that's a question whether that carries over to Hilchas Shabbos or not. Chayodim came up with a chumrim. Just like the Rambam writes from the Yerushalmi, that even though klisheni ain't a mevashel, but if the klisheni is yad nichlis bo, then it is yesh bo bishul. So the Rambam writes this benegir to what's called achilas keva. If you did bishul be klisheni, and it was higher than yad saladis, it was yad nichlis bo, then it's yesh bo mishum bishul. So the Chayodim suggests maybe you should carry over to Hilchas Shabbos as well, that even though there's no bishul be klisheni, that's if it's only yad saladis bo, but if it's yad nichlis bo, then it will be. So how high does, let's say, yai mavushul has to be yad saladis? How high do you need that you should know for sure that it was yad saladis? You're going to reach a point that's going to be way more than yad saladis, it's going to be yad nichlis bo. 195 degrees, that's yad nichlis bo. You'll burn your head, you burn your finger off. If you stick your head in for 2 seconds and you take it out, you'll have, your whole hand will be red. Your fingers will be red. So that's more than yad saladis. How high? So Rabbi Moshe has three different tshuvas where he gives three different degrees temperature. One tshuva, I think he writes 165, one tshuva 175, one tshuva 185. 185, woo, that's way above and beyond. 185 is mamish yad nichlis bo also. It can't be 185. It's a shayla, how much is yad nichlis? Like Rav Soloveitchik told yad saladis is something between 140, 160, so 165. So that for sure is. So that's a question. Rav Moshe has the tshuva about pasteurized wine. He assumes that all the pasteurized wines are considered yayin mevushal and there's no din of maga akum. The one who gives the hechsher, the tzelem erov, who gives the hechsher on the kedem wine, doesn't follow Rav Moshe's opinion. He follows what he thinks is the shach's opinion. Rav Moshe thinks the shach never said it. He follows what he thinks is the shach's opinion. It's only called yayin mevushal if you cooked it to the point of 212 and it started to evaporate. You heated it till it starts to be mismay, till it's evaporated. Moshe thinks that that's a mistake. The Ozarua had a suffix, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. The Ozarua had a suffix. Maybe it's called Yai Mabushal if you heated it till the point of poshrim, till the point that it was lukewarm. And then he wasn't sure, so he said, no, you shouldn't be Mekel. It's only called Yai Mabushal. There's no Dina Maga Akum if you heat it till the point of Yatzalanis. But nobody says that it has to be Mismayet, yeah, you have to heat it till 212, till it starts to evaporate. So Moshe was of the opinion that whenever the wine is pasteurized, that's always by definition, that's always going to be yayin mevushal, because it's always way more than yatzaladis. And the Tzelem HaRav didn't accept that. So that's why in some of the bottles of wine of Kedem, some of them they'll all say pasteurized, some of them will say mevushal, some of them say non mevushal. How could it be if it's pasteurized? Answer is, they didn't heat it till 212. So he was a Rav Moshe, but all that, it's all considered mevushal. Yeah, what's the difference? What's the difference whether mevushal, not mevushal? So one difference is maga akum. If the nochri touches it, does he yasa? So the Gemara says in Avodah Mesechus Avodah Zar that if it's yai mevushal, since it's posel and nasach agabi hamizbech and the beis hamigdash, the obdi Avodah Zar would also frown upon it. They probably wouldn't use it to be menasech. So therefore, the chachamim whenever goes there, on maga akam ayayim mevushal. What's another nafkamina? So there is a Gemara in the middle of Bava Basra and Hamecheres HaPeres, I think. The Gemara says you can only recite Kiddush on yayin sheroi lenasech agabi hamizbeach. So the Gemara says, what does that come to exclude? So the Gemara says, Yai Migito. Let's say I came. A businessman gets stuck out of town for Shabbos. The planes are grounded. He can't get home for Shabbos. So he's stuck. How's he going to make kiddush? He goes to the grocery store. He'll find a box of kosher matzahs. Fine. So he'll be able to make kiddush over matzahs. Can he have, is there any way to get kosher wine? So yeah, simple. Go to the grocery store, buy a cluster of grapes, squeeze out the grapes. The Gemara says, you can squeeze out a cluster of grapes. Even though you can't squeeze the grapes on Shabbos, it means squeeze out on Erev Shabbos, and then you can use that wine to say Kiddush. So that wine is not roiv in asar chagav mihamizbeach, because it has to be asar nesar shecher, has to be mitid mishaker. That's grape juice that didn't ferment yet. So you're not supposed to use that on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, but for Kiddush, that's not a problem. So what happened to the rule? Any wine that's not roiv in asar chagav mihamizbeach, you shouldn't use for Kiddush. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't go on Yayin Megito. Yayin Megito, you just squeezed it out in the wine press, the gas is the wine press. That's good for Kiddush. It only comes to exclude if you have wine that started to ferment and it turned into vinegar. It's soured and turned into vinegar. It smells like vinegar, tastes like vinegar. Or if it's so spoiled, they have particles floating on top, it's beginning to spoil. So that's not bekavadik. That's not right. You shouldn't use that kind of wine for Kiddush. So then there's a big machlokes. That's all it means. That's the whole din. Yayin she'ein roiv le'nasach hagabi hamizbeach can't be used for Kiddush. All it means is that if it's yayin that started to spoil, so you shouldn't use it for Kiddush. And the Rambam follows the Goyim. No, there's such a real din. Yayin mevushel, which is not roiv le'nasach hagabi hamizbeach, shouldn't be used for Kiddush. Barbekoi says he can use it. It says Beferish in the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Yerushalmi. And for Habdallah, he can use it also, only for Kiddush now. Kiddush is separate. It has to be Roy Lanasach Hagam Mizbeach. So that's why some are makbid to have Yayin Shein Mevushel for Kiddush, because of this Shita Sagoinim. In Shulchan Aruch, they don't accept that. They mention this opinion, and they say, we don't paskal like that. But if you have a choice, it's Roy Lahachma Bazeb. What if the wine has sugar added? A lot of the wines have a lot of sugar added. A lot of the wines, it says, with sugar added. It's a thicker wine. So that's a din in Korbanos. That's a din of Seorah Dvash. That's in the beginning of Perek Elu Oivrin. It's a pasuk in Chumash, but some people only know the Chumash from the Gemara. So those who know Psachim know, and Mem Gimel Amud Beis on the bottom, the Gemara talks about the din of Seorah Dvash. Yeah, what's the din? Sora dvash la seir ketir min menu yishel Hashem. You're not allowed to mix in sora dvash in a korban. So sora means chametz. And dvash, what does it mean? Honey. So Rashi writes in his commentary, chumash, kol pri or mesikas pri is considered dvash. If you have sugar added, that would be dvash. So that would pasel a korban. So that's a question. If you have yayin mevushel, so I say the yayin is not roiv le'nasach hagabi hamizbeach. What if I have regular wine and I added on a lot of sugar? I added a lot of sugar, so it should be very thick. So you wouldn't be allowed to be makriv that on. Let's say you have k'toris. It says in the Brisa in Pit Makteris, ilu ha'inas makuntu shodrash, in adam yochel amam mipnei recha. The reich would be fantastic. So v'lomayim v'avim badvash. There's a din you have to have 11 salmanim. The Torah of Baal Peh darshans with the psukim. Kachlucha samim not to b'shchev zechel but samim l'bon zaka. So the Torah of Baal Peh made a whole calculation how it adds up to 11. So four of them have to be the salmanim that I mentioned the chumash, and then the other seven. 7 and 4 is 11. So the other 7 can be whatever you want. So the Bryson says, why not add some dash? The reich will be fantastic. You're not allowed to add any dash. So the Minchas Chinuch has a suffix. How do you translate the word? Nosim advash, psolo. Psolo means you made ktoris with 11 salamanim, then you put in a little drash, and now you just ruined it. You can't be makrib this k'toris on the mizbach k'toris in the Beis Hamikdash because of the isasar drash. But it's not psolon. If you would be makter it, say you did an avera, but it's not that the k'toris is puzzle. It's not puzzle. It's kosher. But if you'll be makdirit, you'll be over an avera. So you'll get malchus. Is that the pshat? Or should I say psalo? A korban sheesh basar advash is a korban puzzle. Not just that you'll be over the issa. What's an afkamina? If you have wine and you put in sar advash, do you say that the wine is no good? There's no issa sar advash when you're making kiddush. There's no avera. But if you say yayin, if you say a korban sheesh basar advash is a korban puzzle, then the yayin sheesh basar advash, the whole yayin is puzzle. So that's what the Menchas Chinuch is not sure. How do you translate the word psalda? Psalda means you just ruined it, you can't use it. You can't use it as ktoris, because if you will, you'll be in violation of the law of sorry, la saktiri man or isha la Hashem. Or does it mean more than that? A korban sheesh b'sorat vash is a korban psalda. So that sofik in the Menchas Chinuch, halpi pashtus, is the 2 days in the Rambam. The Rambam usually doesn't quote two opinions. The Rambam... Rambam's not going to quote Abai v'Rava, and we pass like Abai, we pass like Rava. He just quotes the Psak Halacha, he doesn't quote. And once in a long while, he doesn't have too many cases. Once in a long while, he'll quote, the Goyim said like this, and I don't agree. So over here, he has a machlokes with the Goyim. Yayim Avushal, he does accept the Goyim. The Yayim Shebishloi is posel anasach agabi hamizbech. So Yayim Avushal is posel for Kiddush. What about Yayim Shehichnisa Bosor Advash? So that's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Goyim. Do you say the whole yayin is posel and asech? Oh no, it's not posel. If you'll be menasech the yayin, you'll be over the lav of sorad vash. But the korban will be kosher. So those are the 2 days about kiddush, with wine with sugar added. Whether the yayin is considered posel. That's the poshim shad the Gemara has in the next parak. Gemara says that by Sora Dvash, there's a din of Hetem and Starf Leisa. What does it mean, Hetem and Starf Leisa? So we'll have to review it again on Mem Gimel on the base. We'll get to that Gemara, we'll review it again. That there's a Machlok Sabai Rava there. So according to Rava, Ein Haktor Pchusa Mikazayas, but in order to violate the Avera of Sora Dvash La Saktir Menu, if I have, let's say, Ktoris, or I have a mincha, and I'm going to, the Kohen did kmitza, and he burns the kmitz on the Mizbeach. So the kmitz is kmitz vasai, but if he puts in a little bit of tzorat vash, even though you don't have a kazayis of tzorat vash, you have a kazayis of the kmitz. You have a kazayis of the kmitz, and you have a little bit of tzorat vash, and then the Gemara says, hetem et starf lisa. So what does it mean, hetem et starf lisa? It means a korban. Ein hakrova prusa mikazayis. You have to have a kazayis. But a korban sheyesh bo sorad vash, the whole korban is pasul. So here, the person is loike, even though he didn't makter a kazayis of sorad, kazayis of vash, but he was makter a korban that has a kazayis. And there's a little bit of sorad vash in it. So that's what the Gemara calls hetem et starf lisa. But it's not the way we usually understand hetem et starf lisa. It means you have a haktara of a kezayis, and a korban sheyesh basar advash is a pasul of korban.
Maybe by kichol sarich advash in the brisa, by the fact that in ktores, it actually, I don't know, I think it sounds like it's not one of the, it wouldn't be one of the achadas ar simanim, but it would be like one of the things they would add after, like baris karshina, something like that. Maybe because it's not in the achadas ar simanim itself, that Davka by Ktoris, you could say Psala, but not by anything else. Maybe that would explain the Rambam, that it seems like it's a steer there by the versus Mevushal versus.
There is room to say, yeah, there is room to say that only by Ktoris it would Pasal, because it says Rokach Mirkachas Maisei Rekeach. So it sounds like there's a Mirkachas here. Whatever else you add in for a purpose blends in to become an integral part of the Ktoris. But maybe by other things it doesn't blend in, right? So there is room to distinguish, right? I remember when I was a student in high school, and the Rebbe said this over in Shir, so he said this chiluk, that there's room to say that Ktoris is different because the Pasuk says it's an institution of Rekach Merkachas, Maizarikach, whatever else you mix in becomes an integral part of the Ktoris. But by other karbonas it would not be so. Yeah, there is room to distinguish. So again, so the Tosis has four nafkaminas lahalochir on the Tosis ha'ilfis, a mem on the base, the four nafkaminas in the machlokes between the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam, where the Iri from the Kli Rishon is Mavashal all night, and the Rabbeinu Baruch Bala Sefer Truma made the chilek between Iris Mavashal Kedei Klipa. More than Kedei Klipa, not, but Kedei Klipa it is Mavashal. So what's an Avkamina? The first Avkamina is in Hilchot Shabbos, there's a Malacha Mavashal. So is one a violation of Bishal if he pours, he can pour from today till tomorrow on a piece of raw meat that's not going to become a Bishal. The meat will become burning hot if he keep on pouring burning hot water, but it's not going to become a Bishal. So he won't be a violation of Bishal. But we're talking he poured Iri Kli Rishon and he accomplished that the food became cooked. The food got softer, harder, whatever it happens to be, it became cooked. So that's Machlekes, the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam, the Iri is Mevashal Anan. That's one Afkamina. Second Afkamina was by Maliga on the chickens. Before you remove them, then make it easier to rip off the feathers. If you dip it into burning hot water, it makes it, everything is softer, so it'll be easier to remove the feathers. But you can't do that. If you put it into burning hot water, then you're cooking the flesh with the dam. Then the melicha is not going to help. Melicha only takes out the blood that's naturally in the capillaries. But the blood that was nivla into the chicken through bishul, into the flesh, through the bishul, is not yetzar de melicha. So if you hold that iri, if you hold iri, it's not mevasho, so then you can do, you can pour burning hot water on it. Then the third nafkamina was where they make treif. If you're pouring a treif liquid onto food, if iri is mevashel, then it makes osir. If iri is not mevashel, it doesn't make osir. So the Ramban said, how can that be? A blia is not a function of whether it's bishel v'haraya, that you have maliach kirasech and kavish kamevushel. There are blias even if it's not derech bishel. So apparently Tosfos knows that. Apparently Tosfos have the opinion. A blia bechamin is only boleya if it's derech bishel. If it's not derech bishel, then you forget about it. So chiddush, where in the world did they get that idea from? You can have a bliya b'tzaynin, you have kavish kamevushel maleach kirasech. There are blias b'tzaynin. But if it's a bliya b'chamin, and it's not derech bishul, it's only klisheni, so then it does not. That's the way it says the Yerideya. Yerideya paskin like that. You can have a klisheni, let's say I have a pot of burning hot soup. I pour all the soup into a second pot, and it's still burning hot. And then I put in a spoon, a kosher spoon. So it doesn't make the spoon treif or not. So Tyson says, no, the spoon doesn't become treif because there's no bliya b'klisheni. It's a pella. How can it be there's no bliya? Of course there's a bliya b'klisheni. So Tyson apparently thinks, a bliya b'chamin shaloi b'oif and shal bishul doesn't das. So Ramban says, where do you get that from? Where did they get it from? That's the shal. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe they got it from the Gemara in Perikates at Tzoylin. And this Tosfos, a mem on the base, Dima Mascha Oilfis, so on the first very wide line, they have narrow lines in half lines, and then the very long lines. And the first very long line in that Tosfos, they quote from Ketzer Tzolah Dafayin Vav, that there was a Machlekes Amaroyim, there was a Machlekes Amaroyim regarding Eloi Govar or Tatoi Govar. What does it mean, Eloi Govar, Tatoi Govar? It's a question how you translate the words. So let's say I have a cold piece of meat is sitting on the table. I take a burning hot steak. One is treif and one is kosher. I take a burning hot steak and I put it on top of a cold piece of meat. So do you say Eloi Govar, since the piece of meat on top, Eloi is the top piece of meat, Tatoi is the bottom piece of meat. It could be that that's not the correct definition. The Shach says that's not the correct. He says Eloi means the piece that's moving, Tatoi means the piece that's stationary. Okay, so we're not learning Yerideya now, so we'll leave out all the details. But Pashvat Eloi means the piece on top, Tatoi means the piece on the bottom. So there was one opinion that if the piece of meat on top is hot, then there's going to be a bliya from one to the other. The piece of meat on top is cold and the piece of meat on the bottom is hot, then there won't be a bliya. So that was a machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel, I think, or Rabbi Levi, I forgot already who. And dafai involved, whether Eloi Gober or Tatoi Gober. So Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz, who lived in the 1700s, wrote a sefer on the Yerideya, that's called the Crazy Place. He wrote a sefer on Chosh Mishpat, but that's called Urim Betumim. Urim Betumim is quoted on every page by the Ketzos and the Nesivos. Everything they say is always based on the Tumim. But on Yerida, it's also very strong, the crazy place. So the crazy place, he asks a murderous kasha. The Ramban has a klal, has a yisoy, based on Yerushalmi. It doesn't make sense to have a machlekes and metzias. The Chazal had the ability to experiment and to ascertain what the facts are. What are they going to philosophize? They're going to pontificate. They're going to sit back and philosophize. They believed in experimentation. So how did he ask the kasha? How can it be a machlekes by the Eloi Gover, Tatoi Gover? The top piece of meat is at the bottom one. It's cold. The bottom one is at the top one. It's cold. Will it cause a belief? Why don't they experiment 100 times and they'll come to a conclusion? Whether Eloi Gover or Tatoi Gover. So he works on that kasha. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe the answer is that in both directions there's going to be a belief. Either direction. Either Eloi Gover or Tatoi Gover. In either direction there will be a belief. The Machlekes is, though, that if it's a belief, Bechamen, then it only asks if it's Derech Bishul. So that was the Machlekes. Which way is the Derech Bishul? If the source of heat is on top or on the bottom? And then the maskana was that the normal way to do bishul is with the fire on the bottom and the food on the top. So you have to have tatoi gover. That's what Tosis says. V'tanya v'perkei tzitzor and kavasei. The Gemara comes to the conclusion like Shmuel, that tatoi gover, that the source of the heat should always be on the bottom and the food should be on the top. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggests. Maybe that's the answer to the kasha of the crazy place. How does it make sense to have a machlekes and metzias, but the loy gover tatei gover? So he said, maybe it's not a machlekes and metzias. Maybe either way, we know there is a bliya. Machlekes and dafayim vod is which way is called derech bishul b'kach, because a bliya b'chamen only asks if it's b'oifen shel bishul. Maybe that's what Tosis got it from. Anyway, that's Tosis' assumption, and the Shulchan Aruch paskens like Tosis that a bliya b'klisheni doesn't ask him. If you look in the Dark and Chuvah from the Munkach, he has a likut of all the Achrayim. So he quotes it that the Chassam Sofer and the Talmid Chassam Sofer used to be machmer on this. They were choshish for the Ramban. The Chatchila Fishuya should be choshish for the Ramban, that there is bliya even klisheni. But they held even b'rieved, they used to be machmer. That would make a lot of things treif. If you're choshish for that Ramban, you would cause a lot of things to be treif. Let's say you served some kind of soup and you poured it into the klisheni. And then you use the chicken soup and fleshig soup, and then you use a milchig spoon. So do you have to kasha this one? So once the soup is in the klisheni already, then it does nasa. Wow. It does nasa this spoon. Whatever spoon you use, you wouldn't have to kasha. So the Talmid Chasam Sofer, following their Rebbe, following Chasam Sofer, they would be machmer even b'dieved, that like the Ramban, that klisheni is... Even though it's not Mavashal, but it is Mavliya Mafli. So those were the three Nafkaminas. Then there was a fourth Nafkamina for the purposes of Hagola. Let's say I have a pot, and by mistake I cooked some treif of food in the pot. So you have to kasha the pot. So the two ways to kasha, the three ways to kasha, we say Kibbalah Kach Polta, however the Bliya got absorbed, however the treif of Bliya got absorbed, that's how you have to kasha it. Kibbalah Kach Polta determines which of the three forms of kosherization you have to use. So one form is Hagola, and one form is Libun, and one form is Mila V'Yiru. If, let's say, a container became treif because a Bliya B'tzayna, I held a treif of liquid, let's say I held milk in a container for 24 hours. So the milk becomes nivla into the container, Ayidei Kovish Kamevushon. So then if I want to kasha that, so you don't have to do Hagola, and you don't have to do Libun. You can do Mila V'Yiru, Gimel Yomim. You can soak this container that had the milk balua into it, soak it in a bathtub full of water, and fill up the container with water. So have it soak for a little over 24 hours, then empty out all the water and put in the water for a little more than 24 hours, empty it out, and do it a third time. So that's called Mila V'Yiru Gimel Yomim. That's a question. Mila V'Yiru Gimel Yomim, we assume only works if it's a Bliya B'tzayinim. And it works even if it's a Trefa Bliya also. So the Shach thinks not so. The Shach in the second Chelik Yerideya points out Mila V'Yiru Gimel Yomim appears in the Bavli only with respect to Stam Yenam, the Trefa wine that you bought from an Ochri. So if they're pouring cold wine into barrels, and the wine sits there for months. The wine sits in the barrels for months. So that's a bliya b'tzayna, like they kovish kem v'vushon. So if you want to kasha the barrels, let's say the barrels may be wooden, so you can't do a libon on them. So they need hagola. You have to put the barrels into, you have to dip the slats of the barrels into a big pot of burning hot water. It's going to be quite a job. You're going to have to take apart the barrel and to dip each piece of wood. So the din is, since the whole bliya was only b'tzoynin, ayidei kovush, so you can get the plate out. Kibolo kach polto. You can succeed in removing the treifa bliya of the stamyenum from the barrel by soaking the barrels in water three times, each time a little bit more than 24 hours. So the Bavli has it, and the end of Masechus of it is only when he's been get the stamyenum. Stam Yenim was a chumra mid the Rabbanim. That's why you have a lot of coolers in Stam Yenim. The whole thing is a wild chumra. Stam Yenim. They asked Stam Yenim, the real reason why they asked is because of Bnei Seim. We're afraid that it may lead to intermarriage. If I'll enjoy the wine that was processed by the Nachri, I may decide to marry his daughter in order to have a lifetime supply of this delicious wine. So they prohibited Stam Yenim, Bisholakum, and pasakum, bread that was baked by God, even though he's my next door neighbor. I was watching when he baked the bread. I know all the ingredients are kosher, and not allowed to eat it. Bishalakum, and pasakum, and stam yenam. The reason why they asked it is because of Bnei Seim. It may lead to intermarriage. Then on the stam yenam, they threw in another. Tosis points out they wouldn't have made the gzeira in the first place because of this consideration. That maybe the Nochri was menasach the wine. If he was menasach the wine, he's not going to give it to a human being. He holds that it's for the deity. He holds that this getchke, he holds that he holds from some Avodah Zarah. So he was menasech the wine for the Avodah Zarah. He's not going to give it to a human being to eat. The whole thing is a far-fetched chashash. So it's a milsa de la shchicha de gaz b'rabbanim. That's insufficient cause to make a gzeirah de rabbanim. But Tosha says, once they made the gzeirah because of Bnei Seihem, that's a real concern. The intermarriage now is... In America, intermarriage is very high, over 80% or something. It's unbelievable. So that's a real concern. So they asked Stam Yenam and Bisholakam and Pasakam. So once they asked Mishum Bnei Seihem, so they had the right to throw in, even they made Aloy Plug Rabbanon, even let's say, that's what the Rishonim say, who used to make the wine in the Middle Ages? The Galochim. The Galochim officially had no children. They were celibate. The Christian Galachim officially was celibate. What they did on the side, we won't discuss. But officially, they had no children. So what do you mean, Mishum Bnei Seihem? So that's what the Mishanim say. They made a light plug on it. Even if the person who made the wine doesn't have any children, still you're not allowed to drink the wine. So once they made the Issim Mishum Bnei Seihem, then they had the right to add on more details, even the far-fetched chashash, the milsa de lo shchichas, and the yasid, also because of Nisuch. So since the whole Chumra of Stam Yenim is a Chumra, so we're makel a little. So we're makel that Mila V'Yiri works. Where else does Mila V'Yiri work? So the Ramban quotes the Yerushalmi, the Mila V'Yiri works for beer that was is Chometz Dika beer, and it was Nivla into wooden slats. And you want to use that wooden barrel for Pesach, for kosher Pesach things. So you have to do Milavira Gimel Yomim to get the bliya of the beer out. So the Shach says, maybe this din, this kula, the Milavira Gimel Yomim is a form of kashering, maybe it's unacceptable by Stam Yenim, because the whole thing is a wild chumer, and by Chometz Kodem HaPesach, because we really hold Chometz Kodem HaPesach is Heterabola. That was Machlokes Tosfos and Ramban, but the Chometz Kodem HaPesach is Heterabola or Risurabola. So that's what the Shach says, Halacha L'maaseh, and the second Chelek Yerodeh. And have the Din, the second Chelek Yerodeh has all the Dinim of Stam Yenam. So it says there, the Kula, Mili, Riri, Gimel Yam. So the Shach says it only works on Stam Yenam or on Heterabola. And Chometz Kodem HaPesach we treat like Heterabola. When is it enough with Hagolim? When do you need Libun? So whenever, let's say you cooked some treifa soup in a pot. So the treifa soup, you have liquid there. So that hagola will be enough. You don't need libun. When you need libun, if you broil, let's say in the veilus of treifas, you were broiling biliyam tovus hamayim. There is no roitav over there. You were broiling nevelus of treifas on a broiler. and it's agabi huesh. The fire is right over there. So then the halacha requires that you need libun. That's called libun chamur. You need libun chamur. Libun chamur has to be something like 950 degrees Fahrenheit. A normal oven doesn't go so high. 950 degrees Fahrenheit. Doesn't go 900. It goes 500 degrees. If you turn on the fire till a little something close to 500 degrees, that's called libun kal. When is libun kal good? So the Shulchan Aruch says, whenever nikra din hagolah would have been sufficient, so then if you want, you can do libun, so then you don't need libun chamer. Then it's enough libun kal. So Tesis has the shayla over here. Let's say I had some Campbell's pork and beans. I thought that it was beans. I thought that it was Campbell's beans. I didn't realize that this can is pork and beans. And I cooked it, and it has reitav. So then the din is you have to do hagolah. You have to do hagolah. So what if instead of doing hagolah, how do you do hagolah? You have to fill up the pot with water, put on the lid, and make the fire on the bottom. And so you have to wait till the kli is ein ben yomo, because the Tosfos raised the question in different mesichtas and chulin avodah zarah. Whenever you do hagolah, the bleah will go out from the pot or from the knife into the water. What's going to prevent the flavor, the treifa flavor, from going back into the spoon or into the treifa kli? So Tosfos says nothing going to prevent. So you always have to wait till the kli is ein ben yom. So the treifa bleah will go from the kli into the water. There's nothing preventing it from going back into the kli again. But now chilas habliah will be levgam, because since the bleah was sitting in the kedera for more than 24 hours, so the bleah became nice and tam levgam. So that's gzeira midrabban gzeira ene ben yoma to ben yoma. Lo yasa Torah l'kedera bas yoma. Min haTorah, you only have to kasha the pot if it's still within 24 hours of the time that it became treif, the time that it was baleah. Because after 24 hours, the bleah is nice and tam levgam. But midrabban deyasa gzeira ene ben yoma to ben yoma. So that gzeira derabbanim was only introduced if the tchilas habliya was l'shvach, and then by sitting in the doifan akdera, it became levgam. But let's say you do a hagola, so the treif habliya goes into the water, then it goes back into the pot. There's nothing to prevent it from going back. When it goes into the pot, that you don't have to worry about. That tchilas habliya is levgam. So tchilas habliya is levgam, they will never go around that. So that's what you have to do whenever you want a kasha. So you have to wait till the treif habliya is eidah ben yomo, and then you can do hagola. So do you really need, let's say I cooked, by mistake I cooked Campbell's pork and beans, instead of just cooking the beans, Campbell beans, it has an OU, I think. So you're going to, okay, you cook the pork and beans, so there's a treifa bleah in the pot. So then, and instead of cooking the pot, filling up the pot with water on the fire, and having the treifa bleah go, wait 24 hours, have the treifa bleah go into the water, al-yidei the hagola. Let's say he wants to pour from a kettle. He has a kettle of burning hot water. He's going to pour on every spot on the inside of the pot. Is that acceptable? So the Tosfos presents it. If the din would be that Irui is Mevashal Kidei Kulo, then just like a Gnu Hagola, by cooking the water in the pot, so you can do Hagola by pouring Irui. But since we hold like the Rabbeinu Baruch, the compromise, we don't hold like the Rashbam or the Rabbeinu Tam. They had a machlegs, but the Yiri is Mevashal and not Mevashal. We don't hold like either. We hold our Rabbeinu Baruch, the Sefer HaTruma, that it's Mevashal Kadei Klipa. So since it's only Mevashal Kadei Klipa, and L'chatchila, when I cooked, by mistake, I cooked the Campbell's pork and beans, that was real Bishal, so the Bliya went through and through. It went the whole thickness of the Kedera as a Bliya of the Trefa pork. So if you're going to do Iri is only Mevashal Kadei Klipa, it'll only be a Hagola on the upper Kadei Klipa. Won't accomplish a Hagola on the lower part, on the deeper part. So that's why that's not acceptable. So that's questionable. Is that really... And if you would have held Iri is Mevashal Kadei Kulai, then it would have been good enough for Hagola. That's Iri is good enough for Hagola. That's the way Tosfos presents it. Those are the four nafkaminas that Tosfos has. Yeah. Then there's another issue here that Tosfos raises that's relevant to halacha lemaisa. On Shabbos, let's say they serve burning hot soup. So they put the soup they take a ladle and they pour the soup from the big soup pot into the soup bowl. So then you have a soup bowl on the table, and you take some soup nuts and you put it in. So is there an iser? Let's say the water, the soup in the soup bowl is burning hot. Let's say it's more than Yad Soles. Maybe it's even Yad Nichlis, but burning hot. Is there a problem or not putting, let's say, matzah? I'm going to take a challah matzah. I'm going to put it into the burning hot soup. I'm going to take soup nuts and put it in. So what's the issue? The soup nuts are all edible already. It's all mevushal. It ain't bishul lahabishul. So we had a gemara here that even though ain't bishul lahabishul, but if you have a korban pesach, that was for the korban pesach has to be ki'im tzliyesh, has to be roasted, has to be broiled. So let's say it's tzoloi v'achakach bishloi. So the gemara learns that and then aleph and manal. The gemara says tzoloi v'achakach bishloi. You're not allowed to eat the korban pesach. Why? So in Shulchan Aruch they quote from the Sefer Yireim, written by Rav Lezer Mimitz. Metz is a city in France. Charles Zay used to be a rabbi in France. Charles Zay was in the 1700s. But the people who live in Metz now, they still brag about the fact that the Charles Zay used to be the rabbi in their community. They never saw the Charles Zay. Same thing the people who live in Fulda. They're very proud of the fact that the Maram Shif used to be the rabbi in their community. Maram Shif was in the 1600s. It has nothing to do with them. But they brag about that. Maram Shif was the rabbi in their community. I remember once they honored Max Stern, the one who gave the money for Stern College. So he got up and he said, he comes from the city Fulda, and our rabbi was the Maram Shif. So I was wondering, how old is he? How could it be? So he told me that's the way they all speak. Anybody comes from Fulda, he says. He said he thanks everybody for the honor. And he says he was going to say a short speech, but now he's going to say a long speech. He was going to say thank you. Now he says thank you very much. And he sat down. That was the whole speech. Yeah. But that's it. He was bragging. He comes from the city Fulda. And that rabbi used to be in the Maram Shif. Yeah. So so Metz is a city. Metz is a city in France. So Reb Lezer Mimetz was a Balatosi. He was a Talmud of the Rabbi the Talmud. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote, even though there's no bishalachat bishul in Hilchus Shabbos, but there's bishalachat tzliyah, a bishalachat rafiyah, rafiyachat bishul. If you do the different form, where did he get it from? From this gemara, mem aleph and man aleph, that tzolah v'chakach bishul v'chakach tzoloi. So the second bishul is chal. So that's a chumrah, that if you have matzah was baked, or you have challah was baked, or soup nuts, sometimes are baked, sometimes cooked. The different kinds of soup nuts. So if you're gonna put it into a kli rishon, then you're gonna be doing a bishol achar afiyah. So that's a chumrah. Yesh bishol achar afiyah. Yesh bishol achar afiyah. So you're not allowed to do that. But what if the soup is already in the kli sheni? So then the gemara said there's no bishol be kli sheni. So Tosfos here has a diuk. This in Masechet Shabbos. Tosfos is not sure about this. They wrote the Ri has a suffix. But here they don't quote the suffix. Here they quote, you're permitted to do irei from a klisheni on raw vegetables. Why irei from a klisheni? You should be allowed to put the vegetables in the klisheni. Why only you're going to pour from the soup bowl, which is already a klisheni, on top of the raw egg? On top of the raw vegetables and get it cooked a little bit. You're permitted to do iri from a cliche. Why only iri from a cliche? Your mamish can do it. So Tosfos has one suggestion, maybe it's labdavka, maybe even in the cliche you're allowed to. And here they say no, that to do bishul in the cliche is mutam and atorah, because it's tvanis mekaro, so there's a good likelihood that it won't accomplish the result. So therefore, even if it does accomplish, but it was kalachayad, That's not the normal way to do bishul, because we knew in advance that it may not work. So even if it turns out that it did work, it's an abnormal way to cook. So the Tosfos has a chumrah that even though klisheni ain't a mevashel min haTorah, but midrabbanan is mechzik in mevashel. It looks like bishul. So if it looks like bishul, so how come it says in the Mishnah beferish, you're not allowed to put tavlin if you have a pot with the soup? And the Balabasta made the chicken soup on Erev Shabbos, and then she realized she didn't put in a lot of spices. She wants to put the spices into the pot. Let's say she took the pot off of the fire If you got to pour the spices in when the pot is still on the fire, then you're cooking the spices with the fire. But let's say you take the pot off of the fire, and you got to put in the spices. So the burning hot soup that was heated up by the fire, that's called toldos ha'esh, toldos ha'ur. Ur means fire. Or means light, and ur is spelled the same way. Alabav resh. Or is light, and ur is fire. L'chu ba'aru b'ur ishchem. The Navi says, you got to burn in Gehenna. L'chu ba'aru, you make your own fire. You make your own Gehenna. L'chu ba'aru b'ur ishchem. So that's called bishul b'ur or b'toldos ha'ur. If you do bishul b'esh or b'toldos ha'esh. So if the pot of soup is still on top of the fire, then I put in spices. I'm cooking the spices. Agabi ha'esh. That's mamish bishul b'esh. If I took the pot off of the fire and I put in the spices, they'll also get mu'ushal. The pot of soup is burning hot, but that's bishul betoldos ha'esh. The thing that's going to cause the spices to become mu'ushal is the burning hot soup that was heated up by the fire. So that's bishul betoldos ha'esh, is a malacha d'araisa. So how come it says you're not allowed to put the tavlin, the spices, into the pot of the hot soup, even though the pot was removed from the fire, because you're doing bishul betoldos ha'esh? But it says you are permitted to put it into the kli sheni. Once you pour the soup into the soup bowl, then it is permissible. What happened to the mechzik and the basho? Tosis has a chumrah that you're only allowed to do iri from the kli sheni on the raw vegetables. But to put the raw vegetables in the kli sheni is an isa derabbanan mechzik and the basho. So how come it says you're permitted to put the tavlin? So Tosha explains, we're talking about tavlin that people are not going to eat. The only time there's mechzik in mevashel is if I put something in a klisheni, and I'm going to eat the thing. I'm going to put challah, or soup nuts, or matzah in a klisheni, and it's going to get burning hot, it's going to get soft, because it's going to get burning hot, and I'm going to eat it. So that's mechzik in mevashel. That's awesome in the Rabbanan. But if you put in tavlin, which are not really edible, the tavlin just give flavor, and then you don't eat the tavlin. So then, that's not mechzik in mevashel. So that's mutter in a klisheni. Yeah, what else is not mechzik in mevashel? Let's say I have a cup of burning hot coffee or burning hot tea, and it's too hot, so I want to, or I have a bowl of soup, and it's burning hot. I want to drink the soup now, and it's too hot to drink. So I'm going to pour in a little bit of water. So that's not mechzik in mevashel. Even though the water is going to get burning hot, the water that I pour into the cup of coffee, a cup of tea, or into the bowl of soup, is going to get burning hot. I'm going to pour very little cold water into a very hot bowl of soup, a mug of hot coffee, because since the cold water blends in with the hot water, it's not oimid b'fnatzma, it's all mixing in together. It's lach balach, it's all misar v'yachad. So that's not mechzik in mevashel. But if you put a double gush into the klisheni, you put a matzah ball, or you put a piece of challah, piece of matzah, so that's mechzik in mevashel. That's yesh bishol achar afiyah. And even if it's b'klisheni, we say that mechzik in mevashel, that's also in the Rabban. Yeah. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. So that's why they have the Israeli company, Osem, I think, make soup nuts, and they deep fry the soup nuts. So they know that the people in America are going to use it in the soup. So it's not that it was baked. The soup nuts were done in a deep fry, so it was mevushal. So then you say, ein bishol achad bishol. Even if you then it's permissible to throw the soup nuts into the bowl of soup. Even though you're going to eat them, because ain't bishol achar bishol, you say yesh bishol achar afiyah. If the soup nuts had an afiyah before, then you say yesh bishol achar afiyah. But they're makpid to see to it that the soup nuts should have a bishol the first time around, not an afiyah. So these are the four nafkaminas that Tosfos has. It's important. Four nafkaminas, whether iri is mevashel or is not mevashel. Machlokes the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, and we pass on like the compromise shita based on the Gemara Daf Ayin Vav. That by Tatoi Gover, Ademekale Bola, that Iri is Mevashel Kedei Kli. Okay, then we had the bottom Tosfos, a mem on the base, was an important Tosfos, that Tosfos learns that this Gemara is the mocker for the Minig of Ashkenaz, that's from centuries ago, that you don't eat Kittius on Pesach. Adoshim, Bebaloch, you don't eat Bebaloch on Pesach. But kidneys, if it gets mixed in, you don't need, it's not chometz, it's not b'mashehu. You don't even need shishin. Since it's only a minig, it says it's batel b'raiv. Let's say you have kidneys, let's say if they have someone put in rice, so rice, by mistake they put in rice and soup. So the rice, that's not a tarulis. The rice, you can see where the rice is. That's nicker. Just because it's less than 50%, it's not a tarulis by definition. It's only batel b'raiv. Kidneys is batel b'raiv. If it's right head to meal tiser, and the iser is ain't a nicker bimkom, or if the iser is nicker, I can see a piece of rice. So that's not a tarulis. That's not going to be batel. But let's say they mixed in kidneys with other stuff. They made a chocolate bar. And a chocolate bar has an ingredient that's kidneys. So the din is that the kidneys is batel b'raiv. Is it proper to buy it in the first place? That's the question. Is it proper to buy it in the first place? So that the practice used to be that the Rabbanim would retire. If the years of functioning as rabbis in Europe, they would retire, they would move to Yerushalayim in their old age, and they would join the Badats of the Eidah Haredis. The Badats of the Eidah Haredis means all the Ashkenazi rabbis, because from all the centuries until the early 1800s, there were only Sfardim living in Eretz Yisrael. So then when the Ashkenazim started to move there, Talmidim of the Grod, Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, so they made the Badats of the Eidah Haredis. That was for Kehilas Ashkenazim. So that's called the Badats. So whenever a rabbi from Poland or from Lithuania, from Eastern Europe would retire, they would move to Yerushalayim. They all joined the Badats. It's not like Badats is today fighting with the Rabbanim. The Badats meant the Rabbanis for the Ashkenazim, for the Kehilas Ashkenazim, as opposed to the Sfardim. Why they need two different Bati Dinim? Because there's a difference in Hilchas Shchita. Hilchas Treifas is different. The Sfardim are Machmer and Glad Kosher, and Ashkenazim are Mekel. And everything else, the Ashkenazim are Machmer and the Sfardim are Mekel. So they used to give Kabbalah for Shchita. It was a different set of rules and regulations. So the Sfardim gave Kabbalah to those Shochtim who knew how to follow the Sfardish Psak and Shchita. And Ashkenazim used to give Kabbalah. Kabbalah means authorization to practice Shchita to Ashkenazi Shochtim who followed Ashkenazi practices. Differences, Lahakil Lahakma. So the one of the big Rabbanim, Rav Shneur Zalman, wrote a tshuva, volumes of tshuva that's called Torah's Chesed. So he has two volumes. One volume is Chelek Arachaim, one volume is Chelek Eben Ezer. He's the one who has the two tshuvas about abortions. He's the makel on the abortion. He has a very strong tshuva. So in Chelek Arachaim, he has, the practice used to be that the Rabbanim would give a public shiur, a public pilpul, twice a year on Shabbos HaGadol and on Shabbos Shuvah. So in Shabbos HaGadol, they would talk about chometz and tarubis and bitl and tam keika and these kind of things. So he printed his Torah's Chesed. They told me that Chacham Avadia used to love to quote from the Torah's Chesed because it's such a safe, chock full of bikis, fantastic bikis. He has a Lam D'Shazachan also, but he has Mar Mekayimus that are fantastic. So so he has a whole discussion of this topic. There are products on the market, canned goods, that we know they have non-kosher ingredients, and we know they're bottled b'shishin. So is it permissible to buy that in Lechat Chila? So all the kashrus organizations, the OU and the others, they won't give a hechsher unless everything is kosher. So there are others, Rabbi Abadi, he has a website. Abadi learned in Lakewood years ago. He used to be the Poisik in Lakewood for a while. He was a big Tamachok. I remember when I learned in Lakewood, he was a Bacher. So he has a website where he writes which canned goods contain non-kosher ingredients, but the batel b'shishim. So you don't need a hechsher. You can close down all of the kashrus organizations. You don't need a hechsher. He's going to tell you which ones the treif ingredients are batel b'shishim. So it's a mutar l'chatchila to buy the product. So the Torah's Chesed, Rav Shneur Zalman, in his tshuva, quotes a few major poskim, minority opinion. The majority hold that is mutar l'chatchila. There's a minority opinion hold that buying the product that, you know, it has an iser in it that is batal b'shishim, that the purchasing of that canned good is a violation of eim avatan iser lechatchila. Because kolzman you don't buy the product, so you don't need the bittel. But you are buying it, you're relying on the bittel. So that's a violation of eim avatan iser lechatchila. That's a minority opinion. So that's what everything is based on. All the kashrus organizations in America who lead you to believe that you shouldn't buy any products unless they have a heksher, why not? Just read Rabbi Abadi's listing and he'll tell you which products the iser is batal b'shishim. The answer is, there's a significant minority of poskim. Oh, they're purchasing the product itself is a violation of eim avatan iser lechatchila. So we're choshish for that. Okay, then the Gemara has on Daf Mem Aleph on the base. There's a concept, Lav Habo Mechlal Aseh. The last line, Lav Habo Mechlal Aseh. We have given a different name to this. We call that an Iser Aseh. Let's say Tzitzis and Tfilin and Tkiyah Shofar is a Kiyum Aseh, and there's a Lav Habo Mechlal Aseh. That's what we call an Iser Aseh. Sometimes you have a pasuk that's both an Iser Aseh and a Kiyum Aseh. That's what we spoke about in the beginning of the Masechta. Maybe Tashbisu is both a Kiyum Aseh and an Iser Aseh. The Kiyum Aseh b'harai that you say bracha al biur chametz when you begin the bedikas chametz, because the bedikah is the beginning of the biur, and the biur chametz is a Kiyum HaMitzvah. You only say bracha when you do a mitzvah kiyumis. When a person shaves with an electric shaver in order to avoid violation of the Iser, of Giluach B'tar, a person goes, he chooses to eat in a kosher restaurant, not to eat non-kosher food. He doesn't say a bracha. You only say a bracha when you're about to fulfill a kiyum mitzvah, not when you're going to avoid violation of an avera. So the fact that we recite the bracha al bir chametz when we do the bedikah, because the bedikah is the beginning of the bir, that's an indication that the tashbisa is a kiyum aseh. But in addition to being a kiyum aseh, it's also an iser aseh. An iser aseh, you're not allowed to eat chametz mishay shos on the mailo, okay? Maybe even that you're not allowed to get Hanoah Meshay Shos on the Maile. Maybe the Isa Hanoah is Menatur. Maybe even the Isa to keep it in your possession after Chatzos. Maybe that's also there. I said different versions in the Rishonim. How much is included in the Isa Rasei? Sometimes you have a Pasuk that's a Kiyum Asay. Sometimes you have a Pasuk that's an Isa Rasei. Sometimes you have an Asay that's both a Kiyum Asay and an Isa Rasei. So that's Lav Habo Mechlal Asay. We call that Isa Rasei. So the Gemara said, that's an aseh. What do you mean, la b'man chal aseh aseh? So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Many are of the opinion, it's really a lav. La b'man chal aseh is a lav, it's not an aseh. Why do they call it an aseh? It means, when you get to Malkus, you're not loike. Because in order to get Malkus, the third parak in Malkus is dedicated to this topic, elohein haloike. So who gets Malkus? One who violates an avera that's similar to lo sachsim shor b'disha. Do me the lav da chasima. Where they pull up this Dumi Dalab da Hasima, because in the Chumash, in Dvarim, we dash in Smuchim, one pasuk next to the other. So the first psukim say, it's Dikas HaTzarek V'Shivus HaRosha V'Hayon Din HaKos HaRosha. If the Bezna ascertains that the Rosha deserves Malkus, V'Hipil HaShof V'Dikol Lefonov, K'dei V'Shosa B'Himisper. So then the Bezin should give Malkus. Then the very next pasuk says, Lo Sachsim Shar B'Disha. So Gemara dash in Smuchim, in Mishnah Torah, the only time you get Malkus is if the Aver is Dumi Dalab Da Hasima. So Dumi Dalab Da Hasima means on two levels. One level, the nature of the Aver should be similar to Lo Sachsim Shor B'Disha. Should be a lab Sheyesh B'Maisa, shouldn't be a lab Anitik L'Esei, shouldn't be a lab Anitan L'Tashlumen, shouldn't be a lab Anitan L'Azaris Mrs. Bezen. The nature of the Aver should be similar to Lo Sachsim Shor B'Disha. Then number two, Ba'ifen Hakosa B'Chumash. It has to be written in the Chumash. Let's say you have an Iser, or lo b'chutz lords. The Chumash in Parshas Kedoshim last week said, where it says, ki savoy al ha'aretz en etaitim kol etzmach v'al ra'altim alos. In Chumash it talks about or lo b'chutz Yisrael. So if the person eats or lo, he's like it. What if a person eats or lo b'chutz lords? So the Rambam says, it's halach al Moshe Messina, so you can't give Malkus. You only get Malkus if the Aver is similar to lo sachsim shabedisha. So similar is, has to be written in Chumash. If the whole thing is only known to Allah, Moshe Messina, not written at all. And even if it is written in Chumash, it has to say, loy, like lo sachsim shabedisha, or he shomer pen v'yal. And if it's not one of those four lashonos, then it's not dumyad lelab dachasima, noifan hakosar bachumish. It has to be dumyad lelab dachasima, the way it's written in chumish, dumyad lelab dachasima, the nature of the other. So the pashto says that this klal, lav abo mechlal asei, is an asei, and the other amore, the other tana disagrees, abuda, in the top of membeis, and he holds lav abo mechlal asei is a lav. That's a machlekes for malchus. But the nature of lav abo mechlal, anisa asei, is an isa lav, mainav kamina, let's say. Women are exempt from mitzvah sasei, as magroma. But that's only if it's a kiyum asei. Tzitzis, tefillin, shofar, lulav, sukkah, that's a kiyum asei. So women are pata. And isar asei, Rabbi Kevegas takes the Gemara in the end of, where is it? It's a Gemara in sukkah. The Gemara learns that from sukkah in Kol Ezech b'Yisrael. Yeshu b'sukkah, no, the pasuk Kol Ezech says by Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So Gemara learns that from the pasuk that women have to observe Tosefes Yom HaKippurim also. One might have thought that it's a mitzvah sasei shas van grama, so women are potter. So kamash malon the pasuk that women are chayv. Why? So Rabbi Kivega learns why is it taka? It's an exception to the rule. Like hakel, hakel is a mitzvah sasei shas van grama, and it says hakel is hanashim hanashim atav. It's an exception to the rule. There are a lot of exceptions. Kiddush is an exception. Matzah is an exception to the rule. The Rambam writes there are more exceptions to the rule than there are mitzvahs that fall under the rule. So Rabbi Kivega writes in Hilchos Birchas HaMazon, things in Mekuf Chav Ches, in the bottom of the page in Or HaChaim, he writes that women are mechuyev in Tosefes Yom HaKippurim because that's an Isar Asei. It's not a Kiyum Asei. That's maybe in addition to being a Kiyum Asei. It's an Isar Asei. An Isar Asei is like a lav. A lav abba mechlal Asei doesn't mean it's an Asei. It means it's an Asei benegeh to Malkus, but it's really a lav, and we say it's considered like a lav. What's another difference between a mitzvah sase and a mitzvah lai sase? There are more rites in Siman Kuf Nun Zayin and Yerideya that in order to keep kosher, yeah, it's going to cost you more money. Or I used to have a neighbor in 44 Bennett who came from Russia, and his wife had to travel by plane every month to go to the mikveh in a different city, and he had to blow in 2 weeks' worth of salary that his wife should go use the mikveh every month. So that's the din. Yeah, in order not to violate an aveira, you have to spend kol hoin beis, you have to spend all of your money. In order to fulfill a mitzvah, I say you're not mechuyev to spend so much. You're not mechuyev to spend more than one-fifth of your total savings in order to fulfill a mitzvah sasei. But in order to avoid violation of a loy sasei, so that you have to give away kol hoin beis. So that's what, there's a discussion, what about over here, what about a lav habo, mechlal asei? That should really be like a lav, it's not an asei. It's an asei b'negei to malchus, we treat it like an asei. But it's really a lav. Then the Minhas Chinuch also quotes in Shita Mekubetzes, that esei deicha loy sasei. Ein esei deicha esei, because mayol mehai esei, mehai esei. That's the Lashon HaGemara, the last daf in Chulin. An esei is not deicha an esei. An esei is only deicha alois esei. So the Minchas Chinuch quotes a few times the Shita Mekubetzes, where they write that if you have a lav habo mechlal asei, in Isar asei, there can't be more chomer than a lav. So just like esei deicha alois esei, the esei can be deicha a lav habo mechlal asei. What else you find? An oinen. Mishamesa muta lefano, a person in the state of aninus, is not allowed to do it. There's a machlekes rashi and toisus, and we pass on the shulchan aruch like toisus. Mishamesa muta lefano is not allowed to fulfill any mitzvahs, but he's not allowed to do averis either. So what if you have a lav haba machlal asei? So that's an aver. Lav haba machlal asei is not an asei. It's an iser asei. So that's an aver. So the oinen is not allowed to do an aver. He's not allowed to do any mitzvahs, but he's not allowed to do averis either. Sometimes you have something that's both an Isar Aseh and a Kiyum Aseh. Let's say Netilas Yadayim, before you eat bread. So Misha Mesa Muta Lefanov, he wants to eat a sandwich. He's hungry. He's starving. He was in the hospital the whole time because his relative just died. And he was there for the last couple of days. He hardly ate anything. He wants to eat now. So we paskin that you don't say a bracha. The Einan, Misha Mesa Muta Lefanov, not allowed to say a bracha. It's an avera. Also, lehanis ben ala mazeh b'lei bracha. That's not an avera. It means that you didn't fulfill the asay. Also, lehanis is not to be taken literally. It means it's a mitzvah midrabbanah to say bracha. what about the din you have to wash until the Siddayim before you eat bread? So they quote the Pizchei Tshuva there in Shin Mem Aleph and Hilchas Einan in the end of Yeridei, at the end of the third Chelik Yeridei. So he quotes the Chidah, says, there's an Iser mid the Rabbanim to eat bread without until the Siddayim. So the Einan are not allowed to violate an Iser, so he has to wash until the Siddayim. But you only recite a bracha on until the Siddayim if by washing your hands, you're mekayma mitzvah midirabbanan. And the oinah is not allowed to be mekayma any mitzvah. It's not minatar, not midirabbanan. So the oinah should wash until the siddayim before he wants to eat bread, but he shouldn't say the brocha. You only say a brocha until the siddayim when you're doing it for the purpose of fulfilling a mitzvah. But if you only wash until the siddayim to remove an iser, there's an iser to eat bread without until the siddayim, then a brocha is not recited. So that's the story, but there's a concept of a kiyum essay and an iser essay. So the Gemara says that lav haba mechalal asay is an asay, is not to be taken literally. It means that it's an asay, I treat it like an asay, but I get to malchus because not doing the lav da chasina. But it's really a lav, and one Tana holds that there's even malchus. The Gemara, the top line. And then based on an aleph, leimor lav haba binyan, that there is malchus. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that lav haba mechalal asay, there's no malchus. Then we left out the topic of lav shebechlolus ain't loikim olav. Yeah, that's one of the rules. You only get malchus if the avera is similar to lasachs mishar b'dishay, has to be a lav sheheshba maisa, and so on, and it can't be a lav shebechlolus. What's an example of lav shebechlolus? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Samach Gimel has one kind of lav shebechlolus. This is a different kind. The Gemara has the on the pasuk losochlo al adam. A Sochla Adam has many different levels of interpretation. So Gemara says one interpretation is when you have a korban and you weren't yet zorek the dam on the mizbech. A Soch Adayin dam the mizrab. The dam of the korban is still in the klisharis. You weren't zorek it on the mizbech yet, so you're not allowed to eat. A Sochla Adam. What else is included? A Sochla Adam. So the Gemara says, Sanhedrin shiro b'echad sh'argas ha'nefesh. The Sanhedrin at 23 is going to give someone the death penalty. So they paskin, he deserves death penalty, and they give him the death penalty. So they're not allowed to eat till the end of the day. So the Mishnah says, let them not give the Gemara din 9 in the morning. Then they're going to have to fast the whole day. Let them wait. Let them eat all day long. Let them make the Gemara din for Einish Misa an hour before the end of the day, now before Shkia, so they'll only have to fast for an hour till the end of the day. Why should they make the Gemara din in the morning and then they'll be also to eat the whole day long? So that's another level of Sochla Adam. The Gemara has a few levels of interpretation on the Pasuk of Sochla Adam, and we accept all of them. So the Gemara says you don't get Malkus on any of these. That's called the Lav Shebechlolus. That's one kind of Lav Shebechlolus. One kind of lav shebechlolus, yeah. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha. On Shabbos, there are lametes ovis malochas, but you get the death penalty. So the death penalty doesn't have to be dumi the lav dechasima. Malchus has to be dumi the lav dechasima, but not misa. A megadev gets misa, and it's a lav shema maisa. He violates the avera of megadev by dibur. That's called a lav shema maisa. So the rules, dumi the lav dechasima is only for Malchus. The Hayom Bira Kosar Rosh, if he peel shall we call the phone, goes on Malkus, doesn't go on Misa. So the Tesis is bothered with Akasha. You have a pasuk that says you're not allowed to do Malocha on Yontiv, and the Gemara says whoever does Malocha gets Malkus. How does it get Malkus? You have one pasuk and it has 39 different Isurim. How come you like it? So that's an important question. Okay, maybe we'll start from this topic tomorrow. This we already discussed earlier. So we'll start from that tomorrow, the lav shebechlolus. And this, in our daf, it's a different kind of lav shebechlolus. Okay. Good.